Thanks for reading that, Steve. And thanks for leading the songs. You're a very good song leader, Stan. I don't know why you were hiding on that back pew. And get your grandson up here to sing more, too, because he's a good song leader. And Blaine, you got to come next, too. Okay? And I'd like to welcome those who are watching us online, including Golden Living. Natalie will be at church this, I believe this Wednesday, with the offspring Jonah. So bring your colds and viruses and come hold the new immune-strengthened child. And Tiffany is joining us as usual. Nate is watching us from his officer's training. Also my mom, the Robins, there are many others who are watching. Karen Meyer, which brings up something interesting here. If you could, Karen Meyer, she, back in 2005, when we were going up to Newport Episcopal Commons, she was doing crossword puzzle, or not crossword, jigsaw puzzles, and she was antisocial. And we tried to get her to come to the Bible class that we had in the lobby, and she shut that down pretty quick. She said, "I'm not interested." She said it in sort of an angry way. Well, I could tell she was listening to our lessons, because obviously you're going to if you're within ear distance. And so she would sit out there, and after a while, she then warmed up to us, that we weren't a bunch of Bible thumpers. We were just there having a good time studying God's Word. And over the course of time, she began to come to those Bible studies. And then in 2007, Karen was baptized into Christ. And there I am with more hair, Don Joy, Tim Williams with no gray hair, and Don Pownell. And there were many others who went to her baptism. We had to go up and pick her up in Newport and bring her down to the YMCA. She suffered a tremendous, horrific accident in 1999 that left her partially paralyzed. She's been living in a wheelchair up there since 1999. And she is moving to Camp Hill. We've been meeting with her every week for years now. We have a regular study up at Newport. Karen is moving in the same facility that Sister Frances Sheets is in. She'll be able to receive her regular therapy, which is just right down the block, instead of having to take all day to take a bus down a few times a week. She can now go to it regularly. I'm very, very happy for you, Karen. But even more, she'll be able to attend some of the services at Golden Living because she's within wheelchair range of it. She has batteries only about a block away. And not only that, she will also be able to attend some services here if the weather permits. And so she will be able to meet and fellowship more with the people whom she's never met that she will go to heaven with here from Camp Hill. And so I encourage you to help me help her move this coming Saturday. This Saturday, February 4th, we're going to meet at the building at 9:45 with a 17-foot U-Haul, which is more than what we need. She only has one bedroom. We should be able to have everything. If we meet her at 9:45, everyone should be done and back to the building by 12:45. We're going to load up what she has, take it down over about a mile from here in her new facility that she will be staying at. And this will give you a good opportunity, if you don't know Karen, to get to know her. She has grown so much over the years in her faith. She's a defender of that very faith, which you hold so which you cherish. And if you want to make a difference in somebody's life, move their stuff, okay? Move their stuff. She's entrusting you, her church family, with her stuff. That's how much she loves you. Don't let her down. Talk to me after church. Save my back and be part of her life beginning from the moment she moves here. So Raise your hand if you have an interest in helping. Raise your hand. Got some there. Okay. I got it in my mind. Come to me after church. I will write it down, give you the instructions that we need, get it, everything set up. It'll be fun. I'll even buy donuts. Not those duck donuts, though. They take too long. You know, I don't know what you want. Pizzas I'll order like that, but not donuts. And so, also, Pat Mattson fell and re-injured her back. She wants you to keep her in your prayers. And she'll go to the doctor tomorrow, make sure that she didn't undo what she had done with the surgery. Next month will be some of my favorite sermons I'm going to be doing. If you have a lesson that I've done over the last 15 years that made a difference in your life, if you would like to rehear that lesson, I would like to do that. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and do a review of the series thus far. This is the last lesson of the series, The Work of an Evangelist, Part 4. Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, the responsibilities of a preacher, as we've been covering, is much greater than executing a lesson on a Sunday morning and possibly doing a Bible class. That is the least of his responsibilities. In review of such, we covered three areas, which is evangelism, and then education and encouragement. All things that go under what I'm doing here and what I feel that all evangelists should be doing. Sharing the gospel of Christ, leading others to the kingdom of God, growing them in their faith and knowledge, doing personal Bible studies, hospital, home visits, prison visits, nursing home visits, shut-in visits. This is the work of an evangelist. There is another area, though, that I want to discuss, and that is equipping. Equipping. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul wrote Timothy, the evangelist, in the same book, same person. He said, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now listen closely, verse 17. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped. There it is, equipped for every good work. Now, this passage is a very revealing text of the power of our Scripture. It encompasses all the phases of Scripture to be brought to maturation. The Word of God must be empowered in the hearts of men and women to become a practical reality. Through teaching, through testing. That's what the phrase means, reproof, to prove it again, test it. Also, for the actual training, so that they embrace, so that the word may be complete in their life. And that's what that word means, equipped. The word means to complete, to finish. It's not like throwing on the armor of God, but it means to be done, ready, just like a cake coming out of the oven. Or better yet, to be complete, to be prepared to take on the challenges of this life with all maturity. And so, think about this. Being equipped as a Christian to develop a practical, applicable, and fruitful faith unto God. That's what God wants. The accomplished lawyer, the physician, the musician, the soldier, the professor all have a very similar path. All receive a basic education, specialized training, and internship for practicality. They all go through the same part. Their aim is to be the best attorney, to be the best doctor, the best entertainer, the best defender, the best educator that they could be. They must be able to take on the toughest trials, the toughest diseases, the compositions of music like Chopin and others, enemies and subjects that they will have to teach that the world will throw at them. They want to be the best that they could be. And that's all done through that same process. All of them have been trained to be able to take on the challenges which await them as soon as their teaching is over. The Christian is no different. There is no difference in the way we're doing. We are facing a crooked and perverse generation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. And we have to be ready for whatever is coming our way. We're expected to attain to the unity of the faith, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:13, what Paul said. Listen to what he said. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs in the fullness of Christ. It's about maturing. It's about growing. That's what equipping is. As a church, we have to be willing to have detailed plans to carry that out. To take each Christian to their point of maturation and practicality. See, all the faith in the world is no good, and all the faith in the church is no good if it doesn't make you a better person. There's a lot of people out there that know a lot of information about the Bible. When we learn from the Bible, it's not so that if they bring back the category of Bible on Jeopardy and you get on the show so that you could do well and have money. And if you do, you owe me a steak dinner if that category came up. But the bottom line is this: that is not why God wants us to have all this information. It's so that we will mature, we will ripen, we will be ready for when the bigger trials come. According to Paul, the evangelist has an active role in this area. Timothy was a catalyst for many ministries that went on in Ephesus. Let's just look at a few of them. Maybe a simple scan of 1 and 2 Timothy, who was an evangelist in Ephesus for many, many years. Listen to the type of ministries that he was facilitating. There was a prayer ministry. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, I will there, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that be in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Paul is instructing Timothy, you had better have the congregation engaged in regular prayer. Also, an education ministry. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. What did Paul say? Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation for both you and yourself and for those who hear you. Timothy, you better have a good education ministry. And Timothy, you better have a good leadership ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires good work. But he won't desire it unless if you help him to desire it. And by the way, the desire is not a qualification of an elder. It's not a quality that you look for. The desire is the result of people helping encourage that man to be who he needs to be in Christ and to lead in the way that he needs to lead. We're asked to do things all day long we don't desire, but we do them. The same thing is for the elders. Also, a financial ministry. They didn't have the Dave Ramsey class back then, but I can assure you, Timothy was advising them about finances, about money. Look at this, a financial ministry, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some longing for it have wandered away from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at all the times Timothy was instructed to instruct the congregation, do not fall in love with money. Do not pursue money as your goal. That's called a financial ministry. Not only that, he had a prison ministry, which he joined Paul in later on, apparently, if you read the book of Hebrews. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. But Timothy, you join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. You're talking prison ministry. Not only that, there was a widow's ministry. 1 Timothy 5 verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. And he goes into detail. They had a widow's ministry there. And who was a facilitator for much of that? Paul's point man, the evangelist, Timothy. And so Timothy had much more to do than preaching a sermon on a Sunday morning and singing a few hymns. He was an evangelist charged with equipping the members of the flock. We do not know exactly what his strategy was, but make no mistake, he was an equipper of the flock. So, we don't know what the future holds for you concerning my replacement. Earlier, it looked like a sure thing that you as a congregation was going to become a corporate evangelist. But the elders are seeking your input more than ever now. I have not been shared the information, nor do I want to know the results of your feedback that you're giving the elders. It's very, very important, though. They want your feedback. They need your feedback. There's a huge pressure put on them to make a decision. You know, one thing for sure, though, that you will be the corporate evangelist, at least for the time being. Because you just don't go order a new preacher on Amazon.com. That's not how it works. Oh, I would like one who has this type of tie. Oh, this one's on sale. Let's get it now. That's not how you bring in an evangelist. You will be, for the time being, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 6 months, we don't know, but you are the evangelist corporately. And that's why we're covering these lessons. On February 26th is your starting date, and you're being interviewed right now. And the elders have your resumes back there where you're signing. They need your help. I'd like to suggest a proven strategy for you to use concerning equipping. Here's the first thing. Number one, developing meaningful ministries. You have to have someone or some people, some members, who can generate ideas, who can be thinking outside of the box. I want to give you two ministries that have survived and thrived that we have been blessed with here. First is the car ministry. More than 12 years ago, we started a car ministry, and I developed it for the Saints of Camp Hill. Our cars are the second most expensive thing we're ever going to spend money on, for the most part. Our home, our car, our funeral. It goes in that order. And if you... I mean, some of you might have a fancy funeral and are homeless, but that doesn't matter, okay? Statistically, home, car, funeral. And so, with that in mind, often the cost to maintain that part of our life to get us to and from where we need to go to and from work, that can break a family. And we were trying to lead men like Raul Anavatardi and others to Christ. So since they were in the car industry, let's go ahead and have a car ministry. And not only did it lead Raul Anavatardi back to the cross of Christ and to the throne room of heaven, but also it equipped some with the skills to serve them and others the rest of their life. We trained some young men and even some women how to work on their cars. Can you believe that? That's right. We've had teenagers under our vehicles before and show them how to change brakes, show them how to do things. You know, let me tell you, there are a lot of garages out there that are waiting to have you show up with no information about vehicles to take advantage of you. There's a lot of great mechanics, but there's a lot of rip-off mechanics out there. And when they say to you, we need to rotate the air in your tires and change your muffler belt, do not go there. But we do it better yet. We said, learn to work on your own car and we'll help you. And they saved anywhere from 50 to 75% off their car. Not only that, this ministry equips some to be wise stewards of their funds concerning their vehicles. Dave Ramsey approves. See, I'm plugging it for you, okay? Okay? It equips some to be able to fund other works with their savings. You know, a lot of the mission work I did, people would say, hey, Doug, I put some extra money for the missions because I saved so much on my car. You know, that a ministry is designed to equip people and to minister, but to equip people. It's a changing room from where you walk in with your Clark Kent suit and come out with a big S on your chest, not for Superman, but saved by a Savior, sanctified, set apart. All those things. It takes us to the next level that we need. This ministry equips some to reach out to their lost friends and relatives. We have a standard rule with the car ministry. We will help you get your car on track, but if you have a friend or a relative who is not a Christian, and this could be a mechanism to try and lead them to Christ, then we'll go ahead and try that too. So we let you extend that over for evangelism. It equips some to fellowship outside of the church building. I remember there was a Muslim. By the way, Francis, where is Francis? I saw his head somewhere here. There he is. Hey, I love your prayers, brother. I do. It's just every time I hear you pray, I think about getting malaria in the bush in Africa with the brethren. I do. They're just like, hello, thank you very much. You know, because those Africans, man, they know how to pray because they have all kinds of reasons to pray. Over in Africa, dangerous, isn't it? It's a rough area. But I love hearing him do that prayer. You love it too, don't you, Don? Doesn't it bring back those memories of fufu and all that? Whew, it's like going to Africa again without getting sick. But the point being is, I remember Francis and other refugees connected me up to some other refugees. And I remember being under the car trying to help fix a car of a Muslim who actually came to worship here a few times. He since then moved away, but he came to worship here. I remember a conversation I had under the vehicle. This, I knew he was Muslim, and he didn't want me to know that he was Muslim, but I knew he was Muslim. I mean, like when your name is an Islamic name, might be a clue. And so we're working under the car. And my motto is this. I get your car jacked up, we're under your car. That jack ain't coming down till we talk, okay? And so we were under the car together. I was saying, this is where that part goes, and this is where this part goes. And you unbolt that, and I'll say, wait a second, you're a Muslim. He went, oh, and he turned his head away from me. He said, will you still be my friend? I said, yeah. Good. I'm very happy. I said, let's keep on working on the car. But it led to a conversation. And the conversations we have had under cars, I mean, let me tell you, Mike Reeves and I, Don Joy and I mean, we almost got crushed by one of Don's cars because we worked on it on a hill before. But man, Roland Williams, there's nothing that says fellowship like bloodied knuckles and a cold glass of water while we're doing something like that. It provided opportunities for fellowship. But then there was a Golden Living ministry as well. More than 5 years ago this month, we began a ministry to better equip the members of the Camp Hill Church of Christ. At that time, the spiritual giftedness, the basic DNA model that you have, the divine natural ability, we were strongest in servant, encouragers, mercy givers, givers, and shepherds. Now, the car ministry will help some of those. But this nursing home ministry, we went ahead and adopted the entire nursing home. Right now, we have many members right over there. Like every week, they're joining us in worship. We have had conversions from there. But what's really neat is this ministry equipped those who were being forgotten in the congregation. It gave them a tool to help them to mount up with wings like eagles to soar for the kingdom of God. Mercy givers were equipped with the forgotten to further the faith. So many forgotten people over there. The mercy givers go over and hug and hold their hands, hold the hands with the dying, they remember the forgotten. And the encouragers were equipped with the depressed to grow their ministry. Depression's at an all-time high in nursing homes. Not when we have encouragers go in and do what they're equipped to do. Servants were equipped with projects and ministry to improve the lives of the downtrodden. Shepherds were equipped with groups of other Christians to harmonize it all together. Givers were equipped. They equipped the poor to redistribute their blessings. So many things you have done over there. That tool, that ministry was exclusively designed for this congregation, and this is why it still goes. This is why it just didn't die out yet, because you are who you are. You excel in that because that is you. It's designed for you. It equips you. And that which equips you, you will always do even better in it. The car ministry became golden, and the golden living became a vehicle. You like the use of that? Became a vehicle for equipping of the saints at Camp Hill. It made them more complete for their service to God. Often, it is the job of the evangelist to try and come up with ideas, concepts, ministries that can be custom designed for the congregation. So that everyone, Nehemiah 4:6, has a mind to work. Now the congregation, you, the corporate evangelist, you can do the same. Now I'm going to be in contact with many of you. This isn't the days of the old West where we have no email, telephone, Skype, smoke signals. We have all those things. We can still be in contact. But you know, the ideas for the future, the best ones are yet to come. What part of you, the corporate evangelist, will step forward and use your mind, share your mind to further the work of the kingdom here? There's an opening, position open. Developers of meaningful ministries. There's an ad right there. Position open. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to use their skills to develop meaningful ministries for the purpose of equipping the members. The candidates interested in these positions must possess an out-of-the-box mentality to generate ideas and structure for the expansion of God's kingdom. Please contact the elders to be empowered. Put your name on that list. The elders are going to be taking those sheets down probably next week, and they're going to be putting it together. They need your help. You need their help. Together you're going to help each other. And most of all, you're going to help those around you who do not know Christ, have not been saved, and want to go to heaven. All things work together for the good of those who love God. You love God. He's waiting to work those things together. But it's more than that. After you come up with those ministries, you have to have empowerment in those same ministries. There must be empowerment to the Christians of this congregation. Many people can come up with ideas, but involving others is an entirely different thing. It was always my goal to pull in as many people as possible. I have a confession to make. It's kind of my how I do things. Some things I do are not intentional. It's my natural personality to create so many different things to do that I wear out and just hand them off to you. Okay? That's just how it is. I'm tired. Will you please help? That's how I've done a lot of it. But it involves email, telephone, and text. Schedules made, individuals empowered, groups assembled, regular innovation and adjustment. These are all things, like the golden living work. I'll take the car ministry. It used to be we had a standard, anything 3 hours or less, we will do it in-house. Because if it was more than 3 hours, my goodness, I have a life to live. And other people do too, and it could be hard. So we adjusted. And now we have a whole network of mechanics. We have a whole network of discounts. We innovated as we went along. Don't think that you will not have to do a continual thing to innovate, adjust, you know, different activity directors have come in and gone. Different administrators have come in and gone at Golden Living. Sometimes we have to shift gears, do a different type of work. Those things require onboard monitoring system, you. You have to be able to contact people. Sometimes you'll change a Bible study program based on who can't get out of their house. Over the years, the sickest elderly person is where we had the study for the senior citizens. Because you guys can still drive. Let's move it on over to there. So if you are retired and there's a hard push to have the Bible study at your place, don't worry, it could be for another reason, but a lot of times we have to adjust. There's a lot of things. I remember we started the work up at Newport 14 years ago for Jason Kroll, as I mentioned. Because he was coming down here, his parents were bringing him down, he would sit in his wheelchair, he was born with spina bifida, and when he died after 10 weeks of being in Hershey, when he died, I remember Miss Karen was on the phone. Karen had not yet become a Christian. And she said, Doug, she was kind of crying because Jason died. And she says, are you still going to come up here? That melted my heart. It really did. That touched my heart. Because at that point, we did make an adjustment. Because somewhere along the line, it became not a Jason Kroll thing, but became a Marsha Peasley thing, became a Karen Meyer thing, became a Mike Peterson thing. You see, you have to adjust, adjust, adjust. There is a position open beginning February 26th. Here it is. Recruiters for local ministries. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to be recruiters for ministries of the church. The individuals must work well with people, be self-motivated, and willing to be a networker among others. Sales and marketing experience would be helpful. Interested parties must contact the elders. Because unless if you're networking, people will not find these ministries. Like we have a small home group Bible study at Reuben Kinney's right now. And we have a lot of people who come to that. We set that up. I just called, had emails, checked it out, gave them, and it's a really great study. If you want to come to the end of what my favorite study is, Gospel Rehabilitation Therapy, come on in. Reuben is a great host. Nobody, you come hungry, nobody leaves empty at that point. But that takes regular ongoing. You have to have networkers to connect people. You have to know what's going on. You have to know what needs are out there, and then you try to plug those needs. You have to do this in order for the ministry to be successful, in order to have continual equipping of the saints. But then there's yet another thing that we need to do. After developing meaningful ministries, empowerment in the same ministries, follow through to complete their faith. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, Timothy is told, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life for which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy was told to fight the good fight of faith. The ultimate end of the equipping process is a devoted, faithful, practicing Christian willing to lay down his life for Jesus Christ. That's where we're aiming toward. That's what we're asking people to do. This does not happen naturally, but must be grown in the hearts of men and women. And that will take consistent follow-through. Christianity is a marathon, not a sprint. It is a marathon. You're in it for the long run. When seeking to equip souls for the kingdom of God, we have to view them through the lens of a lifelong commitment. In each stage of a Christian's life, there needs to be further evaluation and follow-up. Younger converts can be further equipped in Bible camps, youth retreats, regular retreats at the building, ministry. College-age converts can be further equipped by their peers at Christian colleges, campus ministries, mentoring process, involved in meaningful ministries. Those are all things, no matter where you're at in your Christianity, no matter what age you are, there has to be an equipping mechanism, a continual mechanism in place to take you to the next level. Young married couples and parents can be further equipped by seasoned couples and parents. Those entering a midlife can be further equipped through the mentoring of others, advancing their studies, striving to be elders and deacons' wives, teachers, and other leadership roles in the church. That's where I'm at. One of the things I really, really look forward to is the congregation I'm going to has 6 retired men. They have probably the cumulative experience in Christianity of, I would say, at least 3 centuries. I miss being mentored. I really do. You'll never know how much it hurt when Paul Cantrell passed away, when Bob Williams passed away. These were men that I considered fathers to me. Even Randy Pritchett, I had a lot of that. And he moved away too. I look forward tremendously to having men older than me who know more about life than me, who can take me to the next level of faith. The aged can be further equipped by passing their knowledge down to the younger generations. I would suggest you do something what they did years ago. They used to bring some of the older people in the congregation in to be interviewed by the high school youth group. That was eye-opening. Abby used to tell me some of the things, wow, I can't believe that. They used to interview the elders and ask them questions. And the youth connected to them. It's a transferal of knowledge, because eventually you're the oldest person in the house and you got to send it back down and pass it on. There must be long-term follow-up for all people of God. Behind every mature Christian, you could find others that were making lifelong investments in others. They were running a marathon to help them to become who they need to be. On the other hand, behind every Christian who died alongside the road of life likely had many others who did not properly follow through with continual equipping. Over the past 15 years, I've done my best to try and follow up with them. I've written tens of thousands of emails, texts, phone calls, personal letters, thousands of personal visits, hundreds of studies, mentorships, preaching, classes, and dream sessions. This was all done with equipping in mind. You know, we have a young gentleman. If you haven't met him, I'm sure he'll meet you. His name is Josiah Potts. Can you raise your hand there? He's that fancy-looking kid in the back. Josiah is in a mentorship. Josiah will likely be going to SIBI, the Sunset International Bible Institute, to do a 2-year program to become more equipped. This brother is needing to be mentored. I've connected him with some of the men of the congregation. He's connecting. He's coming to all these Bible studies. And he'll hug you too. Okay? But understand this. Unless if we take the prayer to plan for our future in men like him, men like Wissam, men like the many others who have gone on to work in the kingdom, our youth group, we have to make those investments, because that generation who will replace you, they're here now, they're itching to get busy, and we have to equip them. So we need to make sure we have to do what we have to do. There is a position open February 26, Shepherding Souls for Meaningful Ministry. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking for men and women to use their passion of shepherding to bring Christians of all levels to full maturation. You must be in it for the long run and envision the big picture. Contact the elders to begin your service. We have so many people who are so high in the passion of shepherding. Go for it. Do it. There's a sheet up there. Sign it. And if you're beyond seven, sign on the side. The elders need this from you. And remember, the elders' names are naturally on that list. They're naturally on that list. They're on the hook. Now you're on the hook. And together, you'll be caught by Christ. And that's not a bad thing. I want to close with this story about the vanishing congregation. Many years ago, there was a congregation in the Midwest who was going through something very similar to Camp Hill. The membership was about 125, had about 125 members. They had three elders. Their longtime preacher was moving to another state. So they were facing a similar situation. A few years prior, they had expanded the building and they carried some manageable debt, but they did have a debt. And figuring on redirecting, now the congregation, being led by the elders, decided that they would go the path of maybe going without an evangelist and doing the work themselves, pay off the debt, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as things get done. Well, here's what happened. Figuring on redirecting the saved funds toward paying off the debt, they decided to divide up the preaching responsibilities from among the men in the congregation. They had overlooked the many responsibilities, though, of the work of an evangelist. A basic summary of the first year would go like this. Their first year of this, there were no small group home Bible studies for the further equipping of the saints. Many of the members who needed hospital and nursing home visits were not properly ministered to. There were no new corporate ministries formed, and the ones which were in place dwindled in participation. There was inconsistency in the lessons. Most of the sermons were topical in nature because each man would just preach what was on his heart that Sunday. Nothing wrong with that, but you know, sometimes people like a pattern. A number of visitors had dropped, partially because there was not a particular point of contact. You know, they would call, nobody would be there, they couldn't follow up. Personal evangelism suffered the most. Usually the congregation had 10 to 12 baptisms a year, but there was only one in that first year of the corporate evangelistic pattern. At the end of the first year, through deaths, lack of evangelism, and discouragement, the congregation, the size of it diminished by 20%. They were able to pay off some of the debt, but the offering had also dropped by about 20%. And since the, quote, perceived primary goal was debt reduction. At the end of the second year, there were few conversions and even fewer people. Some people were just discouraged and decided to go to a congregation in their town nearby. Sadly, because of the lack of continual grounding, some even found their way into denominationalism. A few more people died. Some others moved away for their employment, average attendance, and the offering was half of what it was 2 years prior. 10 years later, I visited that congregation on my travels. They had about 40 members and no elders. Though they had no debt on the building, they also could not afford a full-time worker anymore. They reached their new goal, but lost their ultimate goal in the process. Where will they be in 10 years from now? Jesus told the church in Ephesus, the very place that Timothy was at. It says in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, "But I have this against you, that you left your first love. Therefore, remember where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds which you did at first, or I am coming to you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand from out of its place, unless if you repent." They did so much well, these Ephesians, but they forgot their first love in the process. They were at risk of having their candle blown out because of it. The story I gave you I could go to any state and find 5 or 10 of these same things. My closing charge to you is this, upon leaving this series. To my brothers and sisters at Camp Hill, you are being asked by your elders to give them feedback concerning my departure. They believe you can corporately do the work of an evangelist at the same time pay off debt incurred over the next few years. They also know that if you decide this route, they will be responsible to carry the weight to make sure this is done. If that is the direction to be chosen, I beg you that you do not go the way of these other congregations. Do not lose your first love. You can only do that, the corporate evangelistic method, if you keep on the front burner, the number one reason is to share Christ, to bring them that first love of the gospel, and to make a difference for the kingdom. Because if we ever make it our number one priority to pay off debt, that will come back to haunt us. If that's the direction, if you lose your first love, you will have your candlestick blown out. On the other hand, if you decide to hire an evangelist, make sure he is one that actually does the work of an evangelist. Don't let him get off easy. Not just preaching sermons on Sunday and surrounding himself with his books in his office the other days of the week. The work of an evangelist is on that wall. You're facing it. And that's a good thing. And whether or not you bring on an evangelist, pursue those things. You have a transition period. The church should be able to grow and thrive during this time. But it's up to you. And the elders want to help you. And you help them. And you want to help the elders. Tonight we're going to have a lesson on the fellowship of the eldership. Come back tonight. But this is why the elders are imploring you to give them your feedback. They need to hear where you stand on the issue. If you have not already done so, go back, sign up on those sheets. Sign up for your part of the work of an evangelist. And then go tell the elders what's on your heart, what's on your mind, because they have a decision to make. And they want you to be part of it. But you always were. But now is for your time to speak. Or forever hold your peace. Tell them if you want to hire an evangelist to alleviate some of these responsibilities. Or tell them you want to focus on debt reduction. Or tell them something in between. Either way, tell them. Tonight's lesson is the fellowship of the eldership. I hope you can come back at 5:30. I'm going to miss you. But we're not that far away. But I'm going to miss you. I have about 5 more sermons left. Bring your friends. Bring your relatives. Bring the lost people around you. Let's try to lead them to Christ in this last month. Let's try to be energized. Let's get a big old shot of gospel steroid. Be here. Think about that while we stand.